Welcome to the Once Upon a Leader in Africa podcast with George Nudu. We invite you to listen to influencers and opinion shapers narrating their experiences from their leadership roles in Africa, from the world of business, community development, government, corporate, social enterprise, among others. We will glean from their good, bad, and ugly side of their leadership journey and be inspired to overcome adversity, to pursue success against all odds, to be a great leader, and many other lessons. Welcome to the podcast, and here's George Nudu.
Hello, Lawrence. How are you?
Doing very well. Doing great. Glad to be here.
Thank you for agreeing to come on this podcast. It's a great joy and pleasure for me to have you here.
Same here. The honor is all mine.
So first and foremost, let me congratulate you. You made it on the list of top 40 under 40 last year's list. So tell me about that award. What does that mean for you?
I think a huge part of me is still processing the news, trying to settle in that you are amongst the top 40 under 40s in the country. So also just asking yourself, how did I end up there? But to an extent, it gives me pride knowing that some of the projects I've worked on with my team, collaborated with so many other guys out there, that impact is being felt not only by us, but now a wider community and a wider audience. And that always gives you that motivation, gives you that extra boost to continue working and believing in the cause.
So tell me, what is this you have been working on that you are talking about that caused you to get the award?
So for the award, I believe it was primarily based on what my startup is doing in cybersecurity. So my co-founder and I, amazing gentleman called Jones Baraza, and I founded a cybersecurity training platform called CTF Room. Now, CTF Room is, as far as we know, the only cyber range platform. So you know how guys, those of the few of us or the many of us who love guns, you always have a range where you go to practice. So in cybersecurity, we have what we are now calling cyber ranges. It's basically a range for you to exercise and improve your cybersecurity skills and competencies. Now, from an industry perspective, we have a couple of those platforms, I believe actually a handful. All of them are not Africa-based. None of them has, they're not founded from Africa. So you have guys in the States, Europe, Israel, doing what they are doing. And CTF Room is, at the moment, the only and leading cyber ranger from Africa. Now, given that you're in Africa, it has won, it's telling the world that, look, Africa is not this forsaken country living in 1960s, but this is actually coming up with technologies that can equally compete with the leading global. Through that, we are also now able to make cybersecurity more affordable and more reachable and more accessible to a lot of Africans who didn't have this opportunity. And the cascading effect of this is it's becoming easier for you to upskill yourself, train yourself, and now be more employable in the industry. So I guess that was one of the biggest things that helped swing this award away, and just generally the impact we have had with CTF Room, making cybersecurity more accessible and more affordable to the community.
So you said impact. Just unpack that. So what impact have you guys been having?
It is actually a very good question, because I was just sending mails today to our community of authors. So in a cyber ranger, you need authors or subject matter experts. These are typically cybersecurity professionals who are creating this content for you. Now, they create the content for you. Then we use the platform to make this content more accessible to our community and customers. So as of last year, we had more than 100 just for sake of simplicity, we had more than 100 training courses and content on cybersecurity. Now, this content was able to be consumed by more than 500 individual players. And we ended up supporting more than 5 events that happened globally. So one of the biggest events we were able to support was Blacks in Cybersecurity. It's an American-based organization that is promoting a more Black, for lack of a better word, a more Black task force or workforce globally. And the good thing with BIC is that BIC has access to some of the leading global stages when it comes to cybersecurity. So the fact that we were able to work with BIC and actually put CTF from on a global stage and have this impact goes a long way in validating what BIC is doing by improving that workforce, what CTF from is also doing. Now, that was one of the biggest impact. Then from there, we worked with, I think, Africa's biggest cybersecurity program, Empowering Ladies, CyberSafe Foundation. We were able to work with them and held CTFs for them in Nigeria, South Africa, and Kenya. And this is using technology grown, matured in African by African and supporting fellow African. That was amazing. And then when you come locally in Kenya, now I believe for the first time, we took cybersecurity to areas where it's hardly heard of. In Kenya, cybersecurity is mostly confined to Nairobi. Now, if you go to countries, towns, or cities like Kisumu and that whole West Kenya aspect, so Kisumu, Kakamega, Kericho, Nakuru, we have amazing guys and students so interested in cybersecurity, but they don't get those opportunities. So CTF Room partnering with other stakeholders. So for example, Aspecia Tech, Moringa School, we are able to mobilize our communities and do awareness in these regions just to help grow these communities and continuously grow that workforce. So I'll say those three have been some of the biggest impacts we have had last year.
In the simplest definition, what is cybersecurity?
Simplest definition. Think of cybersecurity as everything one can do to protect one, confidentiality of the information, to protect integrity of the information, and to ensure that information is available when required.
Okay. Information. Yes. And it's, right now it's becoming a big thing because you're getting into this fourth revolution and everything is being digitalized. So it's definitely a major thing. Wow.
It is a major thing now.
Wow. Okay, good. Just from hearing what you're saying, definitely now I understand why you are awarded. And how have people received you as an awardee?
Honestly, it's hard to quantify that because fortunately or unfortunately, some of us you don't really want to spend a lot of time quantifying your success. So as long as you are seeing the impact out there, you basically want to proceed like, let me continue doing the little I can without getting lost in that. How can I put it? Getting lost in your pride, ego, and that validation. However, I know I've received very good compliments from what you're doing under CTF Room. And for the longest time, I was a very silent co-founder at CTF Room. So majority of people were actually not aware I was part of the team. So also just getting that, wow, we saw a lot of your footprint around these particular initiatives, but you are never forthcoming about it. So it's good to finally know that this is part of the work you have been doing, the effort you have been marshalling, and all that. So the reception from the few feedback, actually a lot of feedback I've had, has been good. Most of it has been well deserved. And just going back to see some of the guys I've looked up to, being able to also put a timeline. Guys who have known me for the last 10 years when I was just stepping into the industry, making a lot of big mistakes. So guys being able to look back and say, we have actually seen you putting in the work and just trusting the process up to this point.
Okay, well, that's good to hear. So let's go back to your journey, your leadership, because you say you're a co-founder. Tell me more about your role in your startup.
So you see, the interesting things with a startup is you don't have a defined role in most cases. In most cases, your role will be based on how the day is. So on some days, I'm working with the team to refine our strategy, see how it's being implemented. I get their feedback, those pain points, see how best we can support them. Some other days, we are hustling to find, okay, how are we going to fund this? Because it's a startup, we have bills we need to pay and all that. So figuring out, okay, where do we get all these monies? Where do we get all these funds? How do I get goodwill from volunteers to be our subject matter expert and all that? Some other days, I'm editing videos, doing marketing materials and all that. So it's a very good mix of trying to do what you can just to ensure that startup still operates and providing your support whenever the team calls upon you.
So in terms of leadership responsibilities, how can you define them for yourself in your startup?
So from a leadership point of view, so I have a co-founder whose main role is he's a very technical guy. So he prefers taking control of our technical capabilities, software, and all that. So from a leadership point of view, my main role here is one, to be the safety net of the whole team, provide guidance, motivation, positive feedback to what the team is doing, and just to ensure that the team knows that in case of anything, they can always fall back to me and my co-founder, and we will be able to have a sit down and work throughout any challenges, issues, problems, or solutions that they might be having.
Let's go back. You know, let's have a TBT moment. When did your leadership opportunities arise for you, if you're to look back?
So I think in primary, at one point I was an assistant head boy, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, so I think that's one of the earliest leadership, at least formal leadership, memory recollection I have.
From there, proceeding on to where you are at now, were there other leadership opportunities that came your way?
Oh, yeah, of course. So I think from primary, then immediately in secondary, I was still a part of that prefect leadership. I recall being a troop leader. I was a scout, so I was in charge of the high school scout program. I was a senior prefect at one point. I've always loved computers, so I was also, I believe, at one point leading that class. I was a captain at one point. I was a regional badminton champion doubles. So I was also a team captain. So I believe majority of the activities I was lucky to be part of. One way or the other, I found myself being nominated or being pushed to actually lead those activities. Then the same thing, university, I'm trying to recall what I did in university from a leadership point of view. Yeah, so university still as part of games. I was part of the leadership team, still just playing badminton.
Even as you've seen yourself and as a leader, what are some of your strengths that you have demonstrated that have made you be effective in your role as a leader?
You know, when I have my one-on-one with my team, I should actually ask them that question because they keep telling me, yeah, you're doing well as a leader. I think next time I'll ask them how, which areas am I doing well? But I know one of the things when I have this one-on-one is I've heard and I've been told that I can be very understanding. Now, both from understanding at also even at a personal level. I strive to know the guys I work with and collaborate at a personal level because I feel it makes you even more empathetic and you are able to contextualize things better and know how to lead various people based on their own personal background. The other thing that I believe has made me a very good leader is I always want the best for guys. So being able to balance what's good for you and also importantly, also being able to balance what's good, for example, for the startup, for the organization, and just trying to find that middle ground. Transparency is a very good thing, though as a leader you struggle. I know you struggle with it a lot because as much as being honest is always the best policy, at times you also need to be very careful with how you communicate all of this, especially as a leader. So, but in most cases, I think with my team, I've been very forthright with them and everyone I work with. Like, look, I'll be very transparent with you, but also be aware that there are certain things I will need to package them very well, just based on those manager leadership dynamics. But I think the thing is I'm always transparent, even where I feel I may not be in a position to tell you everything, I will tell you from the onset that, look, there are a few things here that I would really, really love to tell you, but based on my position, I'm not allowed to tell you. But I strive to be very transparent. And then the other thing is just pushing guys to get the best out of them. For some interesting reason, people have really appreciated me and told me that, look, you pushed me hard enough for me to be the better self of myself. And you are also well aware when to reduce that specific pressure. So I'll say those have really helped me. But I think also importantly, my last strength is being very able to learn, open to learning, especially learning from other leaders and being very deliberate with that kind of learning. So reading books, soliciting feedback, not only from other leaders, not only from your peers, but also those who have at times trusted you to lead them in various circumstances.
Is there any person or any writer that has influenced your leadership that you can mention?
One of the books that has stuck with me, at least I remember the title, is the Bible. Actually, there is a leader who I had the pleasure of meeting very briefly. His name is Jack Ngari. So in my opinion, Jack is someone I look up to, and he's done amazingly well, amazingly well. And during one of our discussion, I asked him, like, Jack, what's the secret? Basically, he told me that everything you do, aim to do it to the best of your abilities and be the best. Be the best in that small or big thing you are doing. Mm-hmm. So that has given me, it has challenged me. So instead of just doing things I've hazarded, though, of course, at times you stumble and struggle, but having that mindset at the back of your mind that, look, I'll do this to the best of my abilities.
You talked about you stumble and struggle. What are some of those things that you stumble and struggle in as a leader?
Man, I think the biggest thing is consistency. that I'll say is one of the biggest thing that I struggle in stumble a lot, because as a leader, man, leadership, in my opinion, has a lot of disciplines. Disciplines that require you to even know yourself better, work on specific things, because leadership is very personal. So you're also working on yourself at from a personal point of view. So it's like every year you have all these New Year resolutions. As a leader, you're probably going to have your resolutions as a leader. So this year, I'm going to try to be very strategic with my leadership strategy. I'm going to read 2 books about leadership every month, and you come up with a full plan. Being consistent, following that plan is a totally a different story. You say, okay, I'm going now to attend more seminars. I'm going to find a coach to help me with this. Being consistent with that becomes very hard. As a leader, you are talking to people, and I think all leaders, you want to spend more time with your teams, with your community. Try to have this one-on-one. I have more networking options. As a leader, I also do mentorship. So I tell myself, I'll try to do consistent mentorship, but I find it hard. Certain aspects, you excel very well. Certain aspect, it just becomes a struggle. And at times, honestly, also a battle with yourself, where you have to keep pushing yourself to do these specific things that you know are good for you in the long term. But just the body and mind at times are like, you need to slow down and drop some of these things.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you, yeah. Definitely. Talk to us a bit about your startup. How was it birthed? How old is it? And yeah, just the formation and the development of it.
CTF from initially was a project by my co-founder, Jones Barraza. So Jones is an amazing technical guy who really loves creating solutions as hobbies for himself, and at times just helping those around him. So we got to interact with him for some time. I saw what he was doing, and I was doing something similar. Then during our discussion, we actually had that light bulb moment where we were like, Jones, you're very good at doing the technical aspect of things, where on the other side, I'm very good talking with people, thinking of all these solutions and how we are going to have impact. So based on that and what you are seeing with CTF Room, my co-founder was going to have that impact by creating an amazing product and solution. On the other side, I was coming in to help ensure this solution was having the right impact that it was intended. So moving it from being just a hobby project for a few guys to now a project that can have impact, not only within a very small subset of people, but starting off with the whole country, now going over continentally to the point where we are now having a global impact at the global stage. So that's how the two of us came, and that's how actually CTF Room came in, into place. Now, from a timeline point of view, all of this started, I believe, in around 2019. Then a bit of 2019, we had a break. All that COVID things happened, given that it was a hobby project, focus shifted to working on projects that will actually generate revenue, because you know, COVID had a very big financial impact. So CTF Room was put on a hold. Then post-COVID, when things had stabilized a bit, the community was asking us, okay, where is CTF Room? What's the way forward? So we decided now to restart it, be more deliberate with it, put a little bit of effort into it just to ensure that it could turn into a viable product.
If you had to sit down with somebody who's starting off, a startup leader, what are some of, and from what you have experienced from 2019, what would you advise them? What would be some key nuggets or nuts and bolts you'll give them?
if you're a co-founder or if you're in a leadership position in a startup, one, you need patience. You need patience and resilience. I think a lot of startups typically don't survive past even 1 year. There are statistics around that. So you need the patience, resilience, to trust in that process and just keep working and chipping away at whichever problems you are trying to tackle without giving up. Because you'll talk to people, guys will give you amazing feedback, but that might not necessarily translate into business. So I think the term nowadays is vibes. So you get a lot of good vibes, but you see those vibes won't help you offset your bills in there. So you need to be really patient and resilient. The other thing I'll say is trusting in yourself, your team, and just not giving up. You're going to face a lot of challenges. One, you're a startup, meaning that there are probably other similar businesses more established than you and all of that. And that basically means even trying to get business becomes a challenge because people don't really know you. Now, you might be getting all this publicity, but from a business point of view, yes, the publicity helps, but also it might not really help in the long term. So, as much as you're fighting against that, you just don't give up. You continue working your leads. You continue talking to people and just working the process. You need to be patient with yourself and be very forgiving with yourself. A lot of things won't work out. I think in this startup journey, a lot of plans don't work out. You can either beat yourself at times, unfortunately, into depression, into closing that startup, or you can be kind on yourself and admit that, look, either we made some mistake here, it's okay, it's part of learning, or at times certain things are out of your control and there's nothing you could have done to get a different outcome.
Well, thank you for that. And it's so true. You know, persistence, resilience, patience, those are things that I think, and those are the things that you have to keep going on even in business, you know, because every level has got its challenges. So being in the tech world, you know, it's quite a web, you know, of things. What would you say is needed for leaders within that world? And not particularly within the African continent.
In the tech space, I believe we have a different hierarchy of leadership. Now, you have some of us who can be considered leaders from a startup point of view. Then you have leadership that comes from, for example, government point of view. Then leadership that comes from people who are meant to be our customers. Now, what can be done different? Both from a policy point of view, a government point of view, a customer point of view, those leaders need to create more opportunities to make that startup ecosystem from a technology based, very basically to reduce the entry barrier for startups who are regional and local. And that leadership has to be very practical and deliberate, knowing that, look, we are deliberately going to ensure that the ecosystem is very viable and open to startups like CTF from a technology space. Because there is no way we are going to fight with some of the established CyberRangers platforms out there. They have better budget, they have better relationships and all that. Though technically, we might actually offer better solution because we understand that local context. So that's one thing I'll say leaders out there need to adopt. Now, from a startup point of view, technically, I think we also need to promote better collaboration from a business-to-business point of view. Because even as CTO from, we have seen, interestingly, frustration from the local ecosystem. So as much as we are not competitors, we offer supplementing services, but these startups will rather go for a startup that is globally, which might make sense instead of going for a similar startup that is local. I believe if we support each other locally and extend these opportunities, foster better collaboration, we are able to grow our own communities, which means we are able to even better support each other as startup leaders and startup founders to ensure we can weather any storm and be very strategic with our regional engagement.
You keep mentioning communities. Just define for us, when you say community, who are you talking about?
So when I talk of the cybersecurity community in this case, so the community includes one, for example, schools that offer cybersecurity courses or courses that can be used to jump into cybersecurity. We are talking of companies, actually all companies right now, that need cybersecurity professionals, that need these professionals to be upskilled in cybersecurity. We are talking of the government, which needs to make policies and an ecosystem that avails these opportunities to the cybersecurity community. So from a community, I'm encompassing that whole ecosystem that is directly tied to what you're doing.
If you are to look at your leadership journey, what are one or two milestone or memorable moments you can share with us?
Now, one of the memorable moments is actually not tied to CTFO. So in 2022, back in my rural home, I'm also very interested in the education landscape and actually what CTF from that is actually educating people. So a lot of schools in the rural upcountry, they don't get mentorship by professionals who have made it out there. So in 2022, I was able to go to my previous primary schools, talk to my colleagues, actually talk to former students out there who are doing very well. I requested them to pull our resources together, invite these students who are just about to sit for their KCPE for a sit down, just talk to them, hear their issues out, and just have this discussion over drinks and food. So the fact that we are able to pull these, I believe, within a month and actually got very good support, that was one of my highlights as a leader. Fact that I had this small dream and was able, in partnership with other interested guys, just to marshal efforts, resources, and have a successful event. One of the biggest highlights. The next highlight is what you have achieved with CTFROM. So being able to partner with big blacks in cybersecurity, being able to partner with CyberSafe Foundation, that was a very huge win for us. And also for me, basically meant that the trajectory, the roadmap, what you are doing from a leadership point of view was actually giving us the results we desired, and guys were seeing it. It was not just us appreciating our own product, but the cyberspace ecosystem was also acknowledging that.
So you've looked back and seen some of the memorable moments. Looking ahead, and in terms of you leaving a legacy, I know you're still young, you're under 40, but looking ahead and thinking of your legacy, what picture comes to your mind?
Actually, a couple of things. So I limit this to CTFROM. So from a legacy point of view, it will be very amazing in a couple of years if the cost of upskilling yourself, training yourself in cybersecurity was very, very affordable, courtesy of CTFROM. So if anyone in Africa knew that, look, you want to get trained, upskill yourself, go to CTFROM. if we are able to achieve that, I think that is one of the legacy that I'll be really proud of.
And so be it. I pray it happens, definitely.
Thank you, thank you.
Because these things, technological studies are quite expensive for many of us, and more so even for the masses in our continent. So I pray that that happens to you. And if you look at just what we've talked about, your leadership and your journey and what you have accomplished, what can you say is the principle or the teaching or the moral of your leadership story?
For me, one of the morals behind my leadership is one, and I think I say this to Business Daily, being able to use your privilege responsibly to help others and not just yourself. So I think that has been one of my guiding principles. So yes, I can talk to a lot of people and hopefully they can support a specific cause. Am I going to use that just for my own personal gains? But are we going to channel that into a project, into something that can have a bigger impact that goes beyond my personal gains?
You say that is one of your guiding principles. Any other you may want to share with us? What are your other guiding principles you may want to share with us as we close?
And just generally being helpful. If you can help people, by all means, help them. And there are different ways of helping people. If you have the finances, of course, use your finances to help them. If you are technically very good, then use your skills to help others, uplift others, make them pivot or move to a better condition or a better place.
Wow. Thank you, Lawrence. It's been great hearing your story. And once again, congratulations for the award. Wish you success even as you continue doing that wonderful work that you've explained to us. So bye for now and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much, George. It's been an honor having you with me and going through all of this with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you for joining us in today's podcast. We hope you're leaving with insights that will help you live and lead better. We appreciate our sponsors, BNG Consultants Limited, and BNG Center for Leadership Coaching for keeping us on air. Bye for now. See you in our next episode.